Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice. I'm Jeannie Rice, your co-host. We also have co-hosts Dr. Tim Hayes and Michelle Bichette. We will share with you the wisdom of the first century Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. We offer tools and support 5 days a week. We will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love, in Aramaic, Brachma. Michael is the author of the book, Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information about the forgiveness process, please visit www.whyagain.org. And now, welcome to the show, Mind Shifters Radio.
Hello and welcome to Mind Shifters Radio. I'm Tim Hayes. I'm your host for the first hour. And today is Tuesday, February 22nd, 2022. And as always, we're grateful to everyone who's joining us here today, whether you're listening live or through the archives, as we spend another couple of hours teaching and supporting people in using some of the most powerful, effective, efficient, and accessible tools I've ever encountered. These tools are available through the tireless efforts of Dr. Michael and Jeannie Rice, absolutely free, on the website at whyagain.org. If you go to that website and click on the Start Here link in the upper left-hand corner, it will take you to a page where you can download and read Chapter 24 of Dr. Michael Rice's book. His book is titled, Why Is This Happening to Me Again? And that chapter of that book contains a narrative description of the primary tool in this work. That tool is called the Reality Management Worksheet, sometimes called the Reality Management Wake-Up Sheet. And it's a tool I've been using to great effect for almost 18 years to improve the quality of my life and most of my relationships, and to turn any negative emotional experience into part of the infallible guidance system that each one of us has been given. You can also download the actual worksheet process itself. It's a simple PDF download. Download it, print it off, copy it, and use it as often as you'd like. Completely free. You can also download a whole host of audio files of shows just like this one from people who have either called in to get help working through the worksheet process or ask questions about it, or give powerful testimonials about how the use of these tools has improved their life quality. You can also go to your app store and type in the three words, Heartland Aramaic Forgiveness, and get access to a completely free and private app that contains the Reality Management Worksheet, an abbreviated version of that worksheet process, and a copy of the Dragon Klingon game, which is a wonderful way to introduce these tools to even younger audiences. And we hope people do that soon and often, as that frequently leads to comments or questions or testimonials. And if you have any of that to share with us, please give us a call, 563-999-3581. Call that number, press 1, it'll put a little icon of a hand by your phone number, and it'll announce you by your area code. And we'd love to hear from you. It makes it far easier for us to live into our intention with this work when you do that. Our intention with this work is to be of service. And if you have a comment or question and you're listening to this in the archives, you can get us to discuss your comment or question by sending us an email. You can email me at tjh@mindshifters-academy.org, or you can email Jeannie at jeannie@whyagain.org. And when we get those emails, we will address the questions on the show, and then you can listen to it in the archive. So this the last 2 weeks and a couple of days, we've spent just reviewing Lesson 3 from The Way of Mastery. And the recordings of these shows, the first hour of the Mindshifter radio show, related to the work with The Way of Mastery, my reading it and giving commentary on it. These files are available on the internet, on the website mindshiftersacademy.org. And there's a separate page titled Way of Mastery on Mindshifters Radio with Commentary. So one thing you can do is you can go there and you can look at from January 10th through yesterday. We have all of the shows. The top one on the list is from February 4th because for whatever reason that show stuck with me and prompted me to start curating these files out and making a separate web page for them. I think that was a Friday show. But then the rest of them are listed in chronological order, and you can scroll down and click on them. But you can also get access to the audio files of me simply reading the Way of Mastery lessons. And there's a separate page that just says WOM for Way of Mastery audio recordings of lessons. And these are the straight recordings of me just reading it slowly, carefully, sometimes with some musical interludes, with no commentary, just trying to read as close to verbatim the lesson as I can. And so it's my intention with that work to be of service, again, to provide a resource. And how is it a resource? Well, for me, the slow work, the careful review of the lessons that are being offered is far more than just a meditation. It's an actual life practice. And if you're finding that for yourself and you find that it's a comfort or an actual technique that you can apply and get different life results, a different experience of life by doing these exercises, then you might want to take advantage of listening to some of those files. It's interesting how at different times in my life, different books have come into my experience. And sometimes I'm very, very clear about the fact that if this book had come into my experience 5 or 10 years earlier, or when I wasn't in such an emotionally intense period of my life, it would have had a very different impact, if indeed any impact at all. So this may not be the right time for you, and it may not be the deep dive for you that it is for some. But just in case it is, we want to make the resources available to the best of our ability. And so if you click on any of those links on the mindshiftersacademy.org and they don't work, please let us know. And if you're getting benefit from them, feel free to send an email with that notation and or give us a call at 563-999-3581 and press 1. So we're talking about a life practice. We're talking about the Way of Mastery as a set of tools. And the whole first two lessons are simply about waking up to start to observe the various ways that each of us is creating our own experience of life in each new present moment. And right there on the fifth page it says, here's the first axiom, the first step in awakening. Just let this thought into your mind. Start observing in your own life related to this first axiom. Nothing that you experience is caused by anything outside of you. You experience only the effects of your own choice. A little bit later on in that page it says, please, please, please wake up to the fact that the way of the heart is not the way of the intellect. So you're living in a culture where you've been trained to view your mind, your intellect, your reasoning ability as your master, as the go-to tool whenever there's upset or any kind of pain or any kind of problem. But this text says, the way of the heart is not the way of the intellect. For indeed, your intellect, that aspect of your mind, it was never designed to be your master. It was designed to be the humble and, if you will pardon the expression, the very stupid servant of your awakened heart, of the awakened heart, of your ability to tap into insight, intuition, higher knowledge. We are creating our experience of life. Lesson two is titled, You Create Your Experience. And in that second chapter, it says, okay, so here's your second axiom. You know, you're perfectly free at all times. Everything that is experienced has been by your choice, and at no other time has there been any other cause. Right? And here's a mind bender. Mastery arises from innocence, not from this constant intellectual practice, put your nose to the grindstone business. Mastery arises from innocence. Step into playing in the kingdom. Become again as a little child to enter the kingdom. Dance, play, laugh, sing. Look at all of your creations and accept them fully, whether it's a garden that all the plants died in or a cake that never rose and tastes horrible or the most magnificent gourmet meal you've ever experienced and you created the whole thing. Here are the first two axioms. I am created as the Creator created me to be. I am free. And nothing sources my experience but me in each moment. Nothing has an effect upon me whatsoever except that which I choose to allow to affect me. I need do nothing. There's the second axiom. I need do nothing. Okay, I'm creating my own life experience and I don't need to do anything. And then we get to the third lesson and it says, look, you have a lot of work to do to discover how magnificent you are. Therefore, in truth, I look upon you constantly and I marvel at the radiance of the Creator's love. It is through you that I come to discover all that God, all that life, all that love, all that creation is. And if you're not feeling that, here's a set of tools that might help you remove everything that blocks you from being able to access that. Here's a tool, it's called forgiveness. What's forgiveness? Forgiveness means to choose to release another person from the perceptions you have been projecting upon them. It is, therefore, an act of dismantling one's own projections. And as you begin to dismantle those projections, forgive, the process of dismantling, shebag, cancel, dropping. As you begin to drop your false perceptions, even 70 times, seven times, each time you forgive and get rid of what's false, you take yourself deeper into the purity of your own consciousness. You get to experience the truth of your nature and the truth of the nature of your brother and sister without all the distortions. Why would I do that work? It's work. Because I began to realize that the greatest gift that I could ever receive would only come to me as I chose to surrender every perception that I might conjure up about my brother or sister, any other person that I think about. This process of recognizing I'm creating all of my own negative emotions and all of my own upset, and how it can be applied endlessly, faithfully, rigorously, with commitment, with follow-through, with persistence, and how it's a glorious, wonderful, blissful energy to be in, to stay wide awake and open to the fact that I'm creating my experience, and whenever I create something that's less than love, I choose to drop it. Now, how could this be a... What's the one of my favorite lines from Guy Finley is, there is nothing more practical than true spirituality. Oh, all of this pie in the sky, woo-woo stuff, all of this love your neighbor and all. What about that guy that stole my stereo? What about that guy that just punched that little kid in the head in the store because he was angry at him? Nothing more practical than true spirituality. So here we are, February 22nd, 2022, and on our planet, as has been happening almost every day that I've been, as far as I know, every day I've been alive, there's been violence on this planet between human beings. There's been wars between countries. There's been wars within countries. There's been the Rwandan genocide. There's been the fighting in Afghanistan and Iraq and the fighting in the Gaza Strip. And it just goes on and on and on. And right now, there are some who would say we are right at that tipping point to enter World War III. Something's going to happen over in Russia. Something did happen in the Ukraine. And so I'm going to be wide awake in my bed at 3:30 in the morning, and that's going to come to my head. And what do I want to do about it? Since I'm the one who creates my own experience of life. I'm here in the Midwest, the United States, half a world away. No, I don't have any political power. I don't have any national power. I don't have any troops I can send. I don't have any magical shields I can put out. What do I do when thoughts come to me about, you know, there was a news story that I heard before I went to bed that, you know, we're going to annex parts of the Ukraine. We're going to send Russian troops in. We're going to start to fight. If I use this, the Way of Mastery, if I use it as simply a nice book that I read, then there's nothing for me to do except lay there in bed and worry about the war that might be coming. When I understand this is a set of tools and I recognize, oh, I'm lying here in bed and I'm generating negative thoughts and worry, and I can use the tools in this book to start to dismantle the false perceptions that I'm using to generate my negative emotions. And I can step back into the realization that all minds are joined. And I can step back into my knowledge of how beneficial it's been throughout my life when I step into the gentle art of blessing, as Pierre Pradervan outlines it. And I can start sending loving thoughts and blessings and seeing people whole and safe and secure and send that energy out into the field rather than sending my fear or my grief or my frustration that I don't have more power to do something. This is a set of tools. And I actually did that about 3:30 this morning. I was awake and I started using the gentle art of blessing from my experience of that. And if you're listening to this and you're not aware of it, it's an interview I did with Pierre Pradervan that's available through the mindshiftersacademy.org website. It's also available in the archives at whyagain.org. And it was a little over a couple of years ago now, I think, maybe 3 years ago, when I first began doing the separate hour of Mind Shifters Radio. And this is a practice where I can go within my own heart space, where I can create the most loving, positive image I can of a person or a place or a thing, and then send the most heart-centered, loving energy that I can generate out towards that person. And this is a healing practice. This is recognizing that everything is energy, and as it talks about in this Way of Mastery several times already we've read, all minds are joined. And if all minds are joined and my energy is going to be felt and experienced by others, why not make it a positive energy? Why not send the energy of love and gratitude and appreciation and hope for a peaceful future? Why not amplify that energy, make it as strong as I can with my mind energy, which is a creative force, as we've heard over and over again in this work, and send that? So that's what I did. That's what I encourage all of us to do on a regular basis. And then there are people who say, well, but that's just, you know, closing your eyes to the truth, and that's not helping anyone. And well, we understand in this work and in many, many other teachings that it does help insofar as it's adding to the positive energy. It's clearing my perceptual process. And as I clear my perceptual process, then I end up seeing life, seeing options I wouldn't see otherwise. I see actuality more clearly. And let's just say, you know, this is a real serious situation. Well, wouldn't it be, if it's really serious and it may be life or death, wouldn't it be critically important for me to have the most high-level perception and evidence about what's going on that I could possibly gain? Wouldn't that be better than acting from a distorted picture? So once I wake up and I realize, oh my gosh, I'm the one that's creating all of this upset, and then I clear my field of view and I realize, oh, wait a minute, I was, you know, laying here just minutes ago thinking I don't have any leverage, I don't have any access. And then all of a sudden it comes to me, oh my gosh, I've got this meditative practice, loving kindness meditation. Or I've got this Pierre Pradervan gentle art of blessing practice, which I have had, I've felt the experience, the benefit it brings to my life. I've had people give powerful testimonials about how useful it is to sit, to actually consciously use my mind energy to create loving, compassionate, gratitude-based, appreciation-filled images of myself and others and extend that loving energy to them. And then in the next moment, rather than lying there in bed feeling helpless and hopeless and creating more and more tension, I start to generate a loving energy and I start to envision it going out from my heart center to the people and things around me, people I know in this country, people in other countries that I don't know, the leaders that are involved in these negotiations. And the next thing you know, it might be a half an hour that last night that I was awake for about half an hour laying there doing that. And the next thing you know, I'm sound asleep again. And I wake up feeling better. This set of tools, the way of mastery and the tool of forgiveness as a tool to remove any false and therefore negative perception, any negative emotion and therefore false perception that I've generated, that I've chosen, which is what helps me generate the negative emotion, to remove any and all of those from my conscious awareness as soon as I can. That is a healing practice. So we've spent the last 2 weeks reviewing the third lesson, and I'm looking for input about whether or not it might be good to go back to lesson one or two or three or move on to lesson four. So let me know your thoughts, 563-999-3581. Call that number, press one, put in a vote for going back and reviewing, clarifying some point, clarifying the first two axioms, the second axiom being I need do nothing, and the first axiom being I don't experience anything outside of my own creation. And the third lesson, the power of forgiveness. We are in the process of learning how to remove anything that is negative and doesn't belong in our energy system. Area code 760, you're in the air, we hope.
Yes, it sounds like it from this end anyway.
Are you
this
there,
is Anne? In Florida. Yes, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. All right, I'll just hold my phone very close. I just wanted to vote. I really like, first of all, I agree with some of the other listeners about, when you switch back and forth to the text that you kind of announce that, and you've been doing a really great job. I just want to say that. I'd like to vote for moving on, however, with the suggestion that you review at the front of every day what you just did. You went through the first three axioms because that's what you've already done. And I really like that because it reminds me of, of the journey, I guess. And you're kind of putting it together and now you're going to add one more as you start. But I really like that you went back through them. I like the pace. I'm on board. Anyway, so that's it. Thank you so much.
Okay, well, you're entirely welcome and deserving. Thank you. The next one is kind of a difficult concept. That's why the entire lesson is spent on this one word, desire. Mm-hmm. And then the fifth lesson, it takes five words all in one lesson. But the fourth lesson is just on one word. One concept, desire. And that one word is also one of the five that comes up in lesson five. But so this ought to let you know how challenging this might be if they spend an entire lesson on that one word. Now, you still want to go forward? Be careful what you ask for.
I know. I know. Well, I'm just one vote. There's other listeners out there. They need to put their hands up, you know, and give some thought. But, yeah, it actually goes back to whatever you're comfortable with. Isn't that what we're learning? I mean, we're going to give some input to any given person, or they're going to give input to us that still our creativeness that will take what we need and leave the rest. I get that from Illinois.
That's what we're hoping for. That's what we're inviting people to do. Absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Anyway, so I'll hang in there in the background and see what everybody else is talking about. Thanks. Blessings.
All right. Blessings. So there is one option to move forward. And then you heard me. This fourth lesson is simply... It's titled Following the Thread of Desire. And it is 1, 2. So, you know, it's like 12, 14, 16 pages just on the concept of desire. So it's definitely a multi-layered, difficult concept. Susan, welcome.
Hi. I think that was Ann. I couldn't hear, but it sounded like Ann, wasn't it, in
that
Florida?
That was Ann.
Yeah. Hello. Hello, Ann. I think it might be good to go on, too, but I've had the luxury of being able to go back anyway and listen to the replays. And I've been doing it every night because, like you, well, you had a – I have about 2 or 3 hours in the middle of the night where I'm up. I'm really up for the day, but I don't let that happen. I just listen to The Way of Mastery, and – I usually stay awake for the whole of at least one rerun, and they've been just fantastic. So it wouldn't hurt, certainly, to keep going over them, although we have the option of going over them already. So I'm with Anne. I would say go on ahead, and your own intuition about pace, about when to step aside and make a comment, has been just – you said once in the early sessions that this text is singing to your soul, and that's what it's doing for me too. I even told Tim Bingham, and I've sent those links around to my Mindshifter group, saying, you know, this is a hard time to be living in. This is one way to keep your spirits up and your resolve up to stay well ahead with hope. So I'd actually love to hear what comes next, even though I've read it. The way you've been doing it, I'm hearing it like a new book. I'm not even reading it, Dr. Tim. I've just been listening to what you've been reading on the show.
All right. Well, I appreciate the input. Thank you for that. And thank you for the introduction to Kristen. That was finally... We finally consummated a little bit of a contact there this morning, so I'll
so
keep you posted as to how that unfolds.
That's so good.
And that reminds
right
me
now.
That I haven't done that in a while, so I will just remind people that if you have read a book, if you have a favorite podcast you listen to, if you've got a favorite spiritual teacher and you'd like me to interview them either for the Mind Shifters Radio or for the On Your Mind podcast from Journey's Dream, please give me a call, 563-999-3581, and put your hand up, press 1 on your phone and tell me, or send me an email. tjh@mindshifters-academy.org, because that's what we're just referring to. Susan Bingham had given me a referral to a medical doctor who deals a lot with getting to the cause, underlying cause of things, rather than just giving medications. And she's part of a team that works with helping families find solutions for their children who are not neurotypical or who have other developmental disorders, and they actually work to help them, quote, heal their brains rather than just give them medications to stomp out symptoms. So thank you for that, Susan, and I'll mute you so you can listen, and I will talk a little bit about lesson four. And lesson four is titled Following the Thread of Desire. And it talks a lot about this one word, this one concept. And if you think about it, what comes up in your mind when we say the word desire? What kinds of emotional attachments and mental, intellectual associations do you have with that word desire? If you're like most of us here in the Western world, you might have obsession, you might have craving associated with that, you might have addiction associated with that, you might have, you know, romantic passion, lust associated with that. And that's not, none of those are what this chapter is trying to give us as a definition for desire. So this chapter opens up with this, the text reading, "It is with great joy that I walk with you on the way that you have chosen. For in truth, there is not a time that I am not with you. There is not a place to which you can journey where you will not discover my presence. Only reality can be true. Only reality can be true." And here, the use of the word reality is the same as Dr. Michael Rice's use of the word actuality. Only reality can be true, and reality is simple. There is but the simplicity of love, capital L, love. From that ocean, there is birthed a multitude of forms, a multitude of worlds, a multitude of creations, of which you are one. Like waves arising from the sea, those creations remain linked eternally to their creator. So, we have to come back and read these first two paragraphs again. It is with great joy that I walk with you on the way that you have chosen. And you've heard us say from previous chapters, we're told all minds are joined. All energy is connected. All energy is of the one mind. There is only this one existence, awareness, creation, etc. Some use the word love, capital L, love. Everything is part of the energy of creation. It is with great joy that I walk with you on the way that you have chosen. For in truth, there is not a time that I am not with you. There is not a place to which you can journey where you will not discover my presence. Only reality can be true, and reality is simple. There is but the simplicity of love. From that ocean, the ocean of the energy of love, there is birthed a multitude of forms, a multitude of worlds, a multitude of creations, of which you are just one. And like waves arising from the sea, these creations remain linked eternally to their creator. You are linked eternally to your creator and all of creation. the text goes on to say, you are a wave arising from the infinite ocean of love that is the presence of God, the presence of the Creator. I am a wave that has arisen from the ocean of my Father's holy mind. And though two waves seem to appear separated by what is called time, by even 2,000 of your years, when seen from a much broader perspective, those waves have arisen simultaneously from the ocean's surface. They arise for the very same purpose, to express the simplicity, the innocence, the beauty, the creativity, the truth, and the reality of the ocean itself. Okay, so this paragraph is saying, you are a wave arising from the infinite ocean of love that is the presence of all creation, that is the mind of the Creator. And you are arising for the purpose of expressing the simplicity, the innocence, the beauty, the creativity, the truth, and the reality of the ocean itself. Your very existence is for the purpose of demonstrating the truth of the energy that created you. This reminds me of Guy Finley. He has a talk where he says, there is an unseen cosmic curriculum, and the purpose of that unseen cosmic curriculum is to educate the mind, educate the soul to the existence of the energy, of the wisdom, of the one mind that created the curriculum. Now, it sounds like it's circular because it is. You exist as a demonstration of the energy of creation. You are the energy of creation expressing in form. You are here because you are here because you are here because you are here. It's this loop. There is only the creative energy expressing. And you can create for yourself the experience of the purpose of being here to simply express the simplicity, the innocence, the beauty, the creativity, the truth, and the reality of the ocean of love expressing as you. And you're also free to create, as the first two lessons have told us, all kinds of other negative thoughts and images and strife and struggle. And pictures in your mind, as Lesson 3 tells us, you can create pictures in your mind that somebody else outside of you is responsible for your strife and your struggle and your negative emotions. Or, and this is what we're being offered here, to create the experience of being the extension of love in form. We could choose to create for ourselves the purpose of expressing the simplicity, the innocence, the beauty, the creativity, the truth, and the reality of the ocean of love expressing in, as, through, and around us in each moment. Again, that third paragraph on Lesson 4, first page, you are a wave arising from the infinite ocean of love that is the presence of God, of light, of love, of creation. I am also a wave that has arisen from the ocean of my Father's, of the Creator's holy mind. And though the two waves seem to appear separated by what we call time, even by 2,000 of your years, when seen from a much broader perspective, those waves have arisen simultaneously from the ocean's surface. And when seen from that broader perspective, those waves arise for the very same purpose. The purpose is to express the simplicity, the innocence, the beauty, the creativity, the truth, and the reality of the ocean of love itself. The text goes on to say, the waves delight in expressing what seems to be a unique individuality. Yet, they carry the common thread of being made of the same substance and are truly governed by the same laws of creation. They know not the moment of their own arising, for only the depth of the ocean unseen can know the moment when it chooses to well up and to create the expression of the wave. The power that is not seen, but is hidden in the depth of the ocean, rises up and forms that wave and sustains it throughout the duration of its expression. It is from the depth of that ocean that it is decided when that wave shall return to the sea. Does that mean it disappears? Well, only from one perspective. But in reality, the very substance that was made manifest truly has not known birth and death, but only expression. What if you were to consider yourself as a wave arising from the holy mind of God, born of the Creator's infinite desire to expand herself, to express the infinite nature of love and creativity? What if you began to realize that all that you have called yourself is the effect of love, and that you did not cause yourself to come into existence? So to come back to this paragraph again, it's the last paragraph on the page, the first page of Lesson 4. Here's a powerful paragraph. Here's the what-ifs. Here's the please open yourself up to questioning, to observing, to playing with these thoughts and observations. What if you were to consider you are a wave arising from the holy mind of God? The holy mind of all creation, born of the Creator's infinite desire to expand herself. What if your very existence is the effect of this energy of creation desiring to express as you, to express the infinite nature of love and creativity through you, through the unique, never before seen, never again to be seen, expression of the creative energy called Susan, Anne, Mary, Jeannie, Tim. What if just play with that thought, try that on. How does that differ from what you've been thinking about yourself and your purpose in life? What if you began to realize that everything you've ever thought of yourself, your height, your weight, your attractiveness or unattractiveness, your intelligence, your bank accounts, what if everything that you've called yourself is nothing more than the effects of the energy of love, and that you didn't cause yourself to come into existence? You were birthed. You were being lived. You are being breathed. You are being seen through. It's not you doing the seeing. What if you come back to that concept of you as the conduit for this loving energy, which was introduced in the first three lessons? What if every time you dismantle a negative emotion and a false perception, which leads to a negative emotion, your conduit opened up, got bigger, cleaner, more transparent, so more of this creative energy could flow through you without distortion, without resistance? What if you were to consider yourself as a wave arising from the holy mind of creation, born of creation's infinite desire to expand itself and to express the infinite nature of love and creativity? And that's how you got here. How would your life change if you began to experience yourself from that perspective? If you created the thought pattern that helped you experience yourself as an extension of the creative energy and form, What if you took conscious control over this power of mind energy that is this creative force that you have dominion over, that you get to direct to thoughts of fear and drama and trauma, or you get to direct it to thoughts of gratitude and appreciation and affection? And the extension of that loving energy and the extension of your ability to create an image of another person in their highest and best, to see past the negative perceptions, and as this book said earlier in an earlier lesson, to see only the face of Christ, to see the Christ mind energy manifesting in everyone and everything around you. How would your life change if that's what you were to choose? If you were to reject the idea that you are alone? Because it says right here in the beginning of this lesson, there's not a place that you can journey where you will not discover my presence. And when we say my presence, we mean the presence of all minds are joined. Consciousness, the one mind, the creative mind, the individual minds of those around you, all minds are joined. What if you ended up learning to remind yourself of this actuality? How would that change your experience of life? Only actuality can be true. And in actuality, there is only the simplicity of the creative energy of love. And from that energy, from that ocean, there is birthed a multitude of forms, a multitude of worlds, a multitude of creations, and you are one of them. This lesson is introducing us to the concept that you are connected to the energy that created you and everything else that was arising from that ocean, from that sea of energy. You remain connected to all of it always, which is why something like Pierre Pradervan's Gentle Art of Blessing can have such impact on you and those around you. It's you consciously stepping into the direction of your mind energy. And rather than seeing hopelessness, helplessness, bitterness, anger, deep grief, you see the shimmering radiance underneath it all. You see the mind of the Creator expressing in form. You see the energy of love expressing in form. And you see yourself as part of that expression. And that will change your experience. What if you were to consider yourself as a wave arising from the holy mind of the Creator, born of the Creator's infinite desire to expand herself, to express the infinite nature of that loving creative energy? What if you began to realize that everything you have called yourself is simply the effect of love, and that you did not cause yourself to come into existence, but it was the desire of the creative energy itself that gave rise to you? The beginning of the second page, page 42 in this lesson says, and yet, as you have arisen from that ocean of love, is not a wave made of the same substance as the sea itself? Are you not given infinite and perfect freedom? For just as your Creator perceives you, you are given the freedom to perceive yourself and all of the other waves that you might notice and even the ocean itself. And you're free to perceive these things in any way that you choose. So, 3:30 in the morning, I have a thought, I wake up, I'm thinking, oh my gosh, all this negative stuff going on in the world, I could choose to just worry about the headlines and who's going to do what. Or I could choose to step into a practice that focuses my mind energy on seeing the shimmering radiance of life expressing in form, of seeing others in their highest and best, seeing the leaders of these various nation groups in their highest and best, and sending heartfelt, deep, loving, gratitude, respectful energy toward them, to see them acting with patience and compassion and wisdom. And the energy in me, my experience changes based on how I choose to perceive it. Lesson 4, second page, first paragraph says, you have the infinite freedom to choose how you're going to perceive yourself and every other person and every other thing you interact with, including the ocean itself, including every bit of the flow of life itself. You can choose your perception, which is why lesson 3 is so powerful. Because if your perceptions arose and resulted in negative emotions and you didn't have the infinite power to change that perception, what use would it be to talk about that? Here's the reminder. You have the infinite capacity to choose the focus of your conscious awareness, to choose how you're going to interpret what is unfolding around you, and to choose how you're going to respond. And that's what's going to create your experience of life. So here's the goal then, second paragraph on that page. Here's the goal. The goal of genuine spirituality is to realign the quality of your perception to mirror, to resonate with, and to be in perfect alignment with the perception of your Creator, to see through the Creator's eyes. There's a Abraham Hicks, this spiritual teaching that comes through this collective consciousness. And this is one of the primary things that Abraham teaches. Whenever you have an upset, when you look at someone and you're judging them negatively, they're bad, they're wrong, they're ugly, they're stupid, they're acting impatiently. Whenever you do that and you feel any negativity, the negativity you're feeling is a direct consequence of you choosing to look at that person differently than their creative source would look at them. So, that's our show for today. I appreciate all of you being here. I'll remind us that we come from love. We're made of this stuff we call love. We actually are love, and everything else is false. Welcome, Jeannie Rice.
Thank you, Dr. Tian. Appreciate you.
Same here. Have a wonderful show.
Thanks. So welcome, everybody, to the second hour of Mindshifters Radio. Today is Tuesday, February the 22nd, 2022. And, you know, today is what's called a palindrome. If you write the date 2/22/22, it's same going either direction, frontwards or backwards, and it falls on a Tuesday, so they're calling it a 2, T-W-O, Tuesday. So I guess it's even more spectacular at 2:22 this morning or 2:22 this afternoon. But anyway, have a great day. It is an awesome day, and just to let you know, there, you know, yesterday I played a Beatitudes. Michael's in California, and it's, I guess, throwing him off being early in the morning instead of 1 o'clock in the afternoon to do the radio show. He said he would let me know if he got free to do it today, and I haven't heard from him, so I'm going to assume that he's not. And I've played the Beatitudes twice. We played one back several weeks ago, and then the second part yesterday. The part that I'm going to play today is only like 38 minutes long, so I'm either going to talk or answer questions or whatever for 21 minutes, and then I'm going to play the third recording. And just ask that a couple of things to hold the space for my son. He is, I wasn't supposed to have Aria today, but Ryan has an appointment with the ear, nose, throat doctor, so I've got her today. And he's actually basically gone deaf in one ear. And so his regular doctor didn't tell him what he saw when he looked in his ear. He just immediately sent him to an ear, nose, and throat doctor. So he is there as we speak. So hold the space for him that all goes well and that it's either something that they can fix or clear up or that Ryan will be able to at least wear a hearing aid or something. And then a second request is that Thursday, and I will be I don't know about tomorrow yet, but Thursday I will be playing a pre-recorded. Actually found a show from back in March of 2014 where Michael explains the wake-up sheet. So I'm going to have Dr. Tim play that one on Thursday. My youngest brother's going to come in and join me Thursday morning, and we're going to visit three different facilities. I don't know if they're not really nursing homes. They're a little beyond an assisted living home. But anyway, we're going to have to make a decision and do something with my dad. And so my youngest brother's coming in to help me with that decision, and we're going to be visiting three different facilities and try to make a decision before the end of the day on Thursday. So hold the space for us on that. And then I'll just add that, and at any time, you all can press one and put a hand up and help me spend this next 20 minutes. I'll let you know on the website a couple of things that have been changed or added. One is on the Beatitudes that we are been playing and talking about. There's actually a link that's been there forever called the Kaboris, and it drops down and it has things like the Enlightenment and the history of the Kaboris and different things like that in the Beatitudes. If you click on Beatitudes, it actually has the poster, and then it's the discussion, to be whom, and what all that means, and the explanation, the description of it from the Aramaic. And then down at the bottom of it, there is a link that says go to Beatitudes page, and you can listen to the MP3s of the radio shows. These are from December when Mark Caddis called in for 4 different days and he and Michael went over the Beatitudes one at a time. So you can access that. And then also on the homepage there are, I'm trying to flip over at the same time I'm talking. There have always, since we went to this new format of the website, been 6 big buttons when you first open up Why Again. And there's the book and the streaming of the videos and the DVDs, the shop, and the Mind Shifters Radio. And then there's been the wake-up sheets. Now, that takes you to, you know, there are so many versions of the wake-up sheet, from the ones that Julie uses with the children. There's the 7-step. There's the abbreviated version that I use. There's a large print one. There are 8, I think, different ones from Julie's book. And then there's several that other people, like Dr. Hayes's verbal short form, older version of 4-step short form. There's the long form that we use in teacher's training. So there's all kinds of versions of the wake-up sheet. You know, as we have changed it and it's evolved, a lot of people still like the older ones, and so they are still out there. There's actually even, you can download the worksheet that's from the book, Why Is This Happening to Me Again, which was one of the first ones, and even examples of Richard's wake-up sheet. So you can download all of those. But now there is a new button on the homepage, and it says Other Worksheets. And so if you click on that, because several people have said, I have such a hard time finding them, and I've tried to put links in various places, but, you know, I can't put everything on the homepage, but I'll try. So now there's a button. If you click it, it takes you to all the other worksheets besides the wake-up sheets. And so there's the posters and, you know, the communication and the three early memories, all of those are out there, the mind shifters. And if you're not familiar with it, you know, there's the regular mind shifters, which Michael uses all the time, which is you pick two numbers, 1 to 3, and then 1 to 13, because there are three sections in it, and each section has 13 statements in it. And so that's the regular mind shifters list. And, of course, those who have been participating in the monthly Still Point Breathing, every month that you were in there, you get an added list. So now we are actually up to 7 sections of 13 mind shifters. But then underneath that, if you click on other worksheets, and they're in alphabetical order. So under that one is the mind shifters list that I use in the women's intensive, and there's 50 of them. And what I would do is just say pick a number from 1 to 50. And so those are a little bit different, and so that's out there now too. So just letting you know some of the changes and things that are on the website. And if you have any questions, our call-in number is 563-999-3581, and press 1, and that puts you into queue. And like I said, I'm going to talk just for a few more minutes, because the Beatitude number 3, the third part, Mark hadn't called in until the show was about half over or whatever. So part 3 is only 39 minutes long. So I will talk or take questions or whatever until we get to the 39-minute mark, and then I'm going to play that recording. So if you have any questions about anything, about the worksheets, about the website, about the app, if you haven't updated your app on your phone, whether you have an Android or an iPhone, there have been a tremendous amount of changes in it, and it's a place where you can ask questions. At first, there were several questions came through, and haven't received any lately, so, you know, that's available to you, and then what we'll do is we will address the question on the radio show, and then I will email you back and let you know what day and time that we addressed your question. And so that seems to be a really easy way for people, you know, if they're doing the worksheet and something pops up and they're like, oh, I don't understand this step. Instead of waiting, they can just go ahead and ask the question right then, and then they can keep going with their worksheet. So that is out there as well. And hold the space for Michael. There's actually a physician, some of you know him, John Lawrence from down in Florida. And he's actually the one that wanted Michael to go out there and meet. He says he has met a constant flow of physicians and different people in different modalities who are interested in healing, and they're looking at creating an integrated group, I don't know how to explain it, that look at healing from all perspectives. You know, you can't just heal, you know, there is no healing of the symptoms. You know, you can address the symptoms and you can take medicines or whatever to alleviate pain, but true cause has to be addressed. You have to look at the mental, emotional, spiritual, as well as the physical to address cause. And so all of these physicians and people, some of them, he said, are authors of some bestsellers. And so there's just a lot of people out there that he's meeting and rubbing shoulders with right now. And, you know, hopefully they can get some kind of a collaborative effort to have an integrated health program. Ah, and I see Michael just popped in.
Yeah.
I was going to talk for 21 minutes, and then I'm going to play the Beatitudes. It only is 38 minutes long. So
okay.
I had explained some new things on the website, and then I was just starting to explain what you're doing in California. So I'll let
right.
you do that, because you can do it better than I'm doing.
Well, it's kind of a zoo, and I had to exit the house that I'm staying at in order to get on the show. There are about 15 people in there right now, and we're kind of doing a seminar on a spontaneous seminar on nutrition and NCR, nasal cranial release, and cranial work and forgiveness. It's like this whole that's let's see, I've been here since Saturday. Has probably happened four different times just spontaneously people are gathering and, whoa, we want to know more. And so it's been pretty crazy, good crazy, connecting with people like, you know, top-level officials at the EPA and lawyers who are very involved in the political process. One of the objectives, there's some folks out here that are fairly well politically connected, is to get an entryway into the political system where we can get actual health care for people, where we can set up a program where people are actually supported in their health rather than a system that promotes and does disease care. So it's been a whirlwind of a gathering, and it's definitely a different world here in LA than it is in Bristol, Virginia, or Theodosia, Missouri. So that's what's been happening here, and lots of conversation about forgiveness. It for me, it kind of feels like I finally really understood how to explain forgiveness in a way that people really get it. And you know, we did that last week. If you didn't listen to that show, there's a 32 minute segment. There's a link on special shows on a step-by-step explanation of exactly how this silly thing of canceling a goal is really about forgiveness and how to open access to your own unconscious mind. And it's one of the interesting things out here is that, I mean, everybody that we're talking to has, to some degree, already been moving in that direction. And when they get it, they're just like jaw-dropping. Oh, my God, that makes so much sense. So it's kind of neat and exciting and a little bit crazy. So that's what's happening here. And if we've got anybody before we go into the Beatitudes, you know, the Aramaic Beatitudes are a powerful set of instructions. You know, so many things are taught as a nice philosophy, or, you know, there's this thing they call the Lord's Prayer, but it's not a prayer at all. It's a set of instructions, as are the Beatitudes. So we'll go into that in a little while. And it's about literally accessing the neural structures. It's kind of like in your computer, you've got to have a proper operating system. If your operating system is corrupt, then your computer doesn't work very well. You don't get proper output. You don't get correct output. You don't get a page laid out properly. You don't get the flyer the way you wanted it. You don't get the book layout the way you wanted it. You don't get the video to work properly. Well, that's what happens when your operating system is corrupt. And in the human system, hostility and fear, been around for thousands of years, are signals that your operating system is corrupt. And forgiveness is how to get it back on track. And the Beatitudes specifically tell us that there's a core kernel in the operating system called Rachma. And it's a neural structure that was implanted in us to guide us. And so that's what we'll be getting into that. And the instruction set, here's what you need to do to activate that. So that's kind of where the Beatitudes head. The Lord's Prayer is exactly the same. It's about how to orient yourself, how to align yourself to capture the proper energies that you're designed to operate from. And hostility and fear aren't it. I love what Einstein says about hostility, about anger. He says, anger is found only in the bosom of fools. And yet most of the world's operating on it with no idea that their system is so corrupt. I mean, if you get a blue screen on your computer, you know you can't do anything beneficial with that computer. If you have hostility or fear, it's a blue screen. It's the equivalent of a blue screen on your computer. Whatever you're doing, whatever you're creating, whatever's happening, whatever's moving forward, oh, you have all these wonderful intentions, but then why in the end is it, why is this happening to me again? It's because the operating system has crashed, and there's been a very poor substitute system put in place, and most people are running from that. And when I say running, I mean they're running on that. So what we're looking to do is to bring back the ancient Aramaic understanding of the operating system the human mind's designed for. And the Beatitudes are core on that. And then the Lord's Prayer is a set of instructions for how to orient yourself. You know, let's say you asked me, as they did Yeshua 2,000 years ago, teach us to pray. Well, obviously they didn't know. So if they wanted to know how to pray, and they didn't know how to pray, obviously it would take some instructions. So now we've got people in the Western world going around every Sunday morning babbling these words, Our Father who art in heaven, like just some kind of rote memory thing that's supposed to do something beneficial for you. And that's exactly the opposite of what Yeshua says. He said, don't babble like the pagans. That just doesn't work. It'll lead you to craziness. And so people are doing this babble. And, you know, let's say I were a voice coach, I were a singing coach, and you said, Michael, teach me to sing. Would I be teaching you to sing if I sang a song? No, of course not. I mean, you might learn something about singing if I sang a song. But if I were going to actually teach you how to sing, I'd talk to you about your mouth and the way you hold your tongue and the way your diaphragm works and your breathing and where to breathe from. And, you know, that would be what I'd be doing. And that's exactly what Yeshua did 2,000 years ago when they said, teach us. And he gave him a set of instructions. And unfortunately, and maybe that's something we can tee up to play later this week, is the instructions from what's called the Lord's Prayer. And the set of instructions are how to align and how to live as a human being, how to live as the presence of love and literally eradicate hostility and fear-based thinking. So in a nutshell, that's kind of where we're going with it. And do we have anybody out there in the phone queue with a hand up? We've got,
we got about 4 minutes until I play the Beatitudes. Yeah.
Okay.
So, and this is actually the third one. We've had played the first part a couple weeks ago and then part two yesterday. So today's part three. And
cool. Well, maybe we should put all three links in the notes so that if anybody missed the first two, they can catch them from the notes.
I have already done that, and we did have a hand just go up.
It doesn't shock me at all. Okay, let's go for it. It's going to be quick. Let's rock.
541, you're on the air.
Yes, this is Helinda.
Hey, young lady, how are you?
I'm good.
Go for it.
Getting younger every time you tell me I'm a young lady, Michael.
All right.
Jeannie, are you listening? You're getting younger, too. A quick question. Do you have a similar expansion of the Lord's Prayer like you do for the Beatitudes that's available?
Yeah, that's what I was just talking about.
And the links are going into the notes for today. And if you're on the website, the way you find it is you click on up at the top is the Kaboris. And under the Kaboris link, you've got the Beatitudes, the Enlightenment, the Lord's Prayer, Aramaicisms. You've got all kinds of links under that.
Oh, perfect. And two other quick questions.
And you can go to YouTube.
Okay.
If you go to YouTube and just type in Michael Rice, then you'll go to our YouTube channel. And it's MICHAELRYCE. And there are dozens of videos there, including, if I remember correctly, the Lord's Prayer.
Perfect.
And it's called Living, not Saying the Lord's Prayer.
Right. Oh, perfect. And then the two other quick questions is, one, do you offer that expanded version from the Still Point Breathing of the Mind Shifters on, did I hear you correctly, Jeannie, that it's on a page on there?
Wait, that is... All you've got on the website is the first three sections that has 13 in each. The expanded mind shifters are for those who are part of the Still Point Breathing monthly membership.
Oh, good. Okay. That's just what I wanted to know. And also the third thing is on the commitment sheet, you've revised the other one. If I were to go ahead and send someone the revision I made, which resonates for me on the commitment to self, I don't want to violate any copyright or anything like that. So I was just wondering if you feel comfortable.
Michael had Michael had already asked you to send it to him for him to look at.
Yeah, I did.
And again, I'm on the road, so it's things are.
Okay.
But if you want to send it to me again, just say at the bottom of it where we ask for the acknowledgement, just say adapted by and put your name and. Then we know
then
they
I'll
know it's not directly from us.
Okay, and then I'll send the other one, resend it again. If I can find it at my computer, I certainly will. Okay, blessings to both of you. Thank you.
Okay. Lots of love and blessings.
Bye-bye.
So everybody,
all right, we're down
the
time.
Out here in California, we're rocking, and I'm going to turn it back to Jeannie. Sweetie, I cherish you.
You too. All right, so I am going to click play, and so the remaining 39 minutes is part three of the Beatitudes. We'll see you at the bar.
Mark, how are you, sir?
I'm all right today.
Sweet. Well, we used yesterday to do a totally different topic, so that was perfect. And so here we are back looking at the Beatitudes. And it's been a fun discussion with you the last couple of days. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. It's really nice to be in conversation with other people on this. It's so enriches the understanding and other people's experiences. This is really good.
For sure. All right. Well, I think we finished with Beatitude 4,
mm-hmm.
where we took the classic, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, they shall be filled, and translated through the Aramaic construct, and that is, you who hunger for the mind structure underlying the attitude, judgment, and behavior described as just and fair behavior between people, for you shall attain it. So, well, all of a sudden, we'll become a field that attracts justice rather than plays out the projections of somebody else deserves whatever it is we give them. So any other thoughts about that beatitude before we move on to the next one?
No, I think really what's my experience with Beatitude 4 is as we do that work, I guess I do, I shouldn't say no, yes I do.
Go for it.
as we do that work, we really come, you know, more and more in alignment with what our secondary purpose is. Because as the primary purpose is being fulfilled more, then we start to be kind of moved in that direction of our true fulfillment or what's really, you know, in alignment for our secondary purpose.
Yeah, and if you look at the Greek translation of that, of righteousness, which has become an interesting, you know, we hear people talking about their righteous anger and such, and it's nothing to do with this beatitude from the Aramaic perspective. It's that we bring our mind into alignment with truth, and in so doing, we function from being and follow the guidance, the right action that comes from being rather than
yes.
men's concepts of justice or what have you.
That's it. And it's not in the transition, you know, of moving from, you know, really my experience of living out of mostly my carbon-based mind to purification. In that process of purification, the right action can be 180 degrees from what we perceive would have been the right action, you know, and that
yes.
creates kind of almost a dissidence in the mind a little bit. It's like, okay, well, wait, I'm in this new aligned state and I'm being kind of moved in this direction, you know, and there's sort of an energetic alignment in that direction, but it's different than the way that, you know, I might have done it in the past.
Right. And
what would have been obvious in the past.
Right, right. And the interesting thing that you can put in juxtaposition with that is that the behavior, the thoughts, the words might be exactly the same as they were from the old way of functioning. They're going to have life in them now rather than just be a repeat of something from the past. And the
yeah.
whole idea of the Beatitudes, the whole idea of this work is that we're truly functioning out of being, functioning where love is conscious, active, and present in us. So while the words might be identical from when I was functioning out of carbon-based memory, it's just replicating whatever's there. There's no life there. There's no live experience. It's just replicating the past, and this may be all the same words, all the same actions, everything looks the same, but there's actual human life in the experience. And that's what this whole body work is about. Is and you know, you go back to Yeshua, and You'd think, by the way, many churches present what he taught, that he came here to teach us about dogma and doctrine and religiosity and all of that. And if you go back and look at his words, he's like, I have a single purpose, folks. I come to bring you life and life more abundantly, to put life back into the moment where carbon-based memory is just replicating. And literally, you know, he talks about, you know, let the dead bury the dead, the blind lead the blind, that when we're just functioning out of carbon-based memory, there's no actual life there.
And that ties right into Beatitude 5, you know, where when someone does that and there is life restored in the person, it starts to flow out into the world. And I'll give you an opportunity to kind of kick that off.
Sure. So number five, next one is classically translated as, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. And it oftentimes harkens back into that, you know, well, I'll be big about it, I'll be merciful. But in Aramaic, it says, you who have rachma. And, you know, I can remember back in the day when we were working on understanding this word rachma, a live work was going on of what does this mean. And we actually did some, I was traveling with the manuscript, getting digital imaging, looking to get high-res digital images done on it. I was out in California, and we connected with a community of Native American speakers. Actually took the manuscript to one of their services, and one of them got up and read it, you know, just like it was, you know, like they were reading something in English. It was pretty cool to be part of that, and we were asking people who were Native Aramaic speakers, still a very live language, what this word rachma meant. And the response we got was, we don't know. The meaning has been lost. And the most profound thing that they could say about the word rachma was, we don't know what it means, but our tradition says it's the most precious jewel you could have. And it related to, related to something like a big diamond ring. It's like really precious stuff. And what we had determined at that point, and it was kind of confirmed by them, but there was no real remembrance of the original meaning of the word, was that rachma was this filter in the frontal lobes of the brain, and medical science is catching up and starting to show, gee, there's a place in the brain where when love is there, it changes behavior, it changes perception, does all kinds of things, just, you know, exactly what the Aramaic spoke about. So there's this filter, then when it's connected to active present love, when it's live with love, it shifts everything, and it becomes quite literally a gateway through which our created essence, love, shows up in physiology. And the way that I've, you know, developed over the years to bring people to that experience is simply to invite them to think about the first time they held a newborn child. And for people who've had that experience, to just go back and remember holding the newborn and tap into the essence of the newborn. And virtually everybody that we've asked that question of, and we've done it all over the globe, different countries, different, you know, cultures, different languages, hold the newborn, and everybody comes back with, first of all, it's usually a smile. Even people who, you know, they kind of look like they're living a pretty miserable existence, if they'll just take a moment and tap into the moment where they held that newborn child. And it may be a child that, gee, it was 25 years ago, and they're angry at the child, and the child's misbehaving, and it's done all kinds of things. But when they stop and they tap in, there's a breath and a sweetness that comes into them. And they use words based in love, variations on the theme of love, to describe that newborn. And then I'll ask people, so is the newborn loving you, or is the newborn love? And it just becomes so obvious to everyone. It's like, and no, they're not doing love. It's who they are. And when I realized that's who I am, you know, yesterday we talked about, I had just, after the show the other day when you were on with me, I was listening to an historian who came up with a thing called the Mr. Magoo hypothesis. Have you ever heard of that?
I don't think so, unless I heard it from you, but don't remember it.
Okay. Well, actually, I just came in touch with it the other day, so it's not something I've ever talked of before. But do you remember the cartoon character, Mr. Magoo?
Sure, sure.
Yeah. Do you remember anything about the cartoons, what they really were, what happened in them?
I do not.
I remember watching them, but I didn't have any real recollection. It's been a long time. But this historian goes on to explain why he came up with this thesis called the Mr. Magoo hypothesis, and that is that Mr. Magoo was this character who was so nearsighted, he had never had any idea where he was. But he had an expectation of where he was and what he was doing and who he was in that space. And he behaved as though his expectations in that space were true about where he was. And it never matched. You know, he was walking through the world. You know, he walks through a lion's den and he thinks he's at the zoo. And, you know, and it just unfolded. I mean, it's such a perfect metaphor for people who've forgotten that they are literally conscious, active, present love. They think they're rage or fear or pain or trauma or drama, and they're walking through the world as though they are this rage or fear, and they're in this space that's designed for active, present love, but their mind's whole construct is that of something that makes their belief about themselves foolish. I went back after listening to him. This was just the other day that I came across this historian's presentation and watched a couple of the cartoons. It was like, oh, I'd forgotten. I maybe never even realized that that's what it was. It was just kind of this goofy thing. But when you see it, it's worth getting on YouTube and just Googling one or two Mr. Magoo cartoons, because he's literally thinks he's in one place and he's in another, and it creates such ridiculous circumstances. And this, to me, is how this presence of Rachma is how we undo the Mr. Magoo in ourselves.
Mm.
Because we open the gateway for the truth about who we are to enter into, to flood into physiology and into the experience of the moment. And rather than acting as the ridiculous self that, you know, our early traumatic experiences or our genes told us we were, we start to function as we truly are, and we show up in the world as truth, and then we get to interact honestly in the world. And the result that 2,000 years ago Yeshua offered of this is that when you open this gateway that brings literally active present love into this form, you know, when we look at someone at what we call a human so-called body, there's no reason to believe there's any human life there unless love is present and active in that form. It's just a human-looking form. But opening this literal gateway, one, it brings... It's a space through which love shows up in our physiology and starts to fuel everything. And two, the mind itself is kept on track through the presence of intentions, which are the raw material of goals. The mind is kept on track with love rather than getting lost in hostility or fear. And so the result that Yeshua promised with this one was, you'll receive it. They'll end up living as the presence of love, and the Mr. Magoo experience will be gone. Now, I don't think that part was actually in the scriptures 2,000 years ago, but it kind of is a great metaphor for us functioning out of something that we're not.
Certainly is, and I you have such a good articulation of Rachma, so I'm going to just leave that where it's at, and it's really, really well done. And for what I'll share on Beatitude 5 is I'll just share kind of an example of a lived experience of how this showed up for me. It showed up many, many times, but just how it showed up in this particular one. Because because one of the things that begins to happen as we do Beatitudes 1, 2, 3, and 4, and that repeats, and I see this as kind of a roadmap that, okay, well, Beatitude 5 is really saying that if we keep doing this, we're going to get to this restored state, like this restoration with, you know, the Rachma. And one of the things that I envision is that as we fill up, you know, because remember, I was learning these and really practicing them in earnest and continue to, but I saw the contrast so distinctly as I was going through 2011 to 2015 with the whole mental health stuff. And I would say for a while, I became really selfish, and I've used the word divinely selfish. I don't know if I heard that from you or Rex, but that's a word that I heard from somebody. And I had always thought, well, that was selfish in a bad way. And in this work, I realized, well, the divine selfishness is actually needed for the restoration of who it is we really are, to shed, you know, anything that's out of alignment with that pure state.
The place I've come with that word of selfish is a shift in the language to it's a state of being self-wise, as opposed to selfish.
Yeah.
There's a transition word that, oh, I do it from that state of being, and it's always on track with love and therefore always self-wise and will serve all of life at the same time. Because I've got that earlier beatitude where just and fair behavior is the underlying construct in my mind that directs all of my behavior.
Well, and that aligns with this one really well too, because as we fill up, think of a cup that's empty, you know, and if we blocked out or resisted this pure state, then we're essentially denying, you know, the true nature of who we are, and so as that restoration starts to happen, I think of the cup kind of filling up, and then at the top of the cup it overflows. Well, if it overflows, then there's lots that can be given. And so we could just let it overflow and drop to the ground, or we can put it out there in the world. And the story I'm going to share here is from Starbucks. I was actually using Starbucks as my office away from home at the time, and I would go there and write and do whatever work I was doing. And one day I was sitting there, and this thought came up to go get a chocolate chip cookie. And I didn't particularly have an inclination that, you know, it wasn't what would typically be there for me would be craving something, right? Like the thought was go get a chocolate chip cookie. So I go up and
sounds
like
divine guidance.
I'm looking around. This divine guidance comes. So I'm in line thinking, okay, well, and I order the chocolate chip cookie, and the person, the barista says, you know, would you like that warmed up? I said, sure. Could you put it on a plate instead of the bag? And they said sure. So they come back with this chocolate chip cookie that's all warmed up. And as I turn, that same inner voice says, well, actually, my eyes are directed to a woman. I actually paused in the Starbucks and I look over, and there's a woman there, and the voice says, go give it to that woman. And I'm like, okay, this is really strange, right? This is not in my comfort zone at all. And so I did it. I went over and I said, hey, I bought this chocolate chip cookie, you know, and I'd like to give it to you. And she looked up, and you would have thought she won the lottery or something in terms of her demeanor. She's like, really? She's like, thank you. Like, I really needed that today. And actually she said, I really needed that today later. So I messed up the story a little bit, but she was just, thank you, and appreciated it, and et cetera. So I went back and worked for a couple hours, and she packed up and she was walking out. And I didn't notice, but she caught my attention and said, hey, I just want you to know that I really needed that today. And I genuinely appreciate what you did. I don't know what that woman was going through, but that was an insight I had of this overflowing from kind of the true heart center, right? That true Rachma love overflowing out into the world. And where the first four Beatitudes to me have, and I know I'm going just from the lived experience of them, to me felt more like, not that they didn't affect other people, but more like it was like me trying to navigate, like, who am I and what is it that is happening here? And so as that restoration started to happen, then it became more clear. It's like, okay, this is to be put out. This is to be shared. This is to allow for that energy, that love to be brought to the world.
You know, over
and,
the years, people
and of course, to finish where it says, you know, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. And I know that word's rachma. It's like I received then this immense love restored in me again. It was almost like a reverberation of, wow, I didn't even do a big thing to me. I just bought a cookie, right? But when she said that it was so meaningful for her, it was almost like it filled me up. So I don't know if the metaphor would continue this way, but it's almost like my cup got bigger, right?
I'm with you. I mean, that's exactly what he says the result will be. You know, if you open this thing called Rachma and your judgment and behavior are fueled by the presence of love, what it says is you'll receive it. So it sounds like, you know, as you gave it, you received it, and then it came back double. That's precisely the principle he's talking about here. So right on track.
And I want to encourage people, if they're going to practice these, it's like, again, just like we talked about a couple of days ago, you know, there's a patience, you know, being gentle and patient and starting with where you're at and letting that be okay, you know. But what these promises are, these aren't like, you know, something that you have to rush into. This is something that it's going to happen. If you do these things, promises, you will receive them. You will receive the fruits of these work, of these practices.
Well, that's the, you know, that principle in step 7 in the reality management worksheet is, I give something away, I get the original, they get the carbon copy. And even if they're not home for delivery, I've already received it. In this case, that woman was home for delivery, and it obviously filled her to overflowing, and she was able to once again return it to you, and who knows who else. Expansion principle. And interesting, in the Aramaic, if we take the phrase that was, the kingdom of heaven is within you, the word that is translated as heaven is the kingdom of expansion. It's within you. It's like when you allow this energy to move through you, when you let that gateway open.
Nice.
Everything
like
shifts.
That.
And we're fueled, literally fueled by that which this human device is designed to be fueled by. You know, I'll oftentimes ask people the question, you know, have you got a device in your home or your office or your car or your shop that works really well when you unplug it from its power supply? Everybody says, well, of course not. What makes you think that your human form could possibly function properly if you unplug it from love? It's power supply. And there's a gateway, Rachma, that was understood. It's looking more and more, according to research, like it's what's called, part of the brain that's called the angular gyrus. And that's where that the whole system is changed by the presence of love in that part of the brain.
I have a question for you. And one of the things
yes,
just, I think you said, and I may not have heard you correctly, but you had mentioned this idea of the kingdom of heaven being expansion, right?
Right.
I heard you
right. Yes.
And mm-hmm. I've also heard you explain the kingdom of heaven as a community of love. And so can you talk to that? Is that the same thing? Just a different way of expressing?
To me, it would be the same thing. It would be,
okay.
What I heard you describing in your beautiful chocolate chip analogy or story is exactly that. So you had an inclination that came through Rachma. You fulfilled that inclination and you handed it off, which expanded the presence of love, obviously, for this woman, who in turn, fueled by love, returned the energy to you and expanded it still further. And and what came out of that. Like, you know, if you guys happen to be back in that store tomorrow and that woman was sitting at that table and you looked at each other, what would you be living in? A community of love. It's expanded, right? And it's eternal when we choose to go there. And the internal benefit, and this is, again, where we receive it, is we're plugging our physiology back into the energy source that it was always designed to work from. It was never, and it will never function from rage or guilt or grief or hate or vengeance or sadness or greed. It will never function from any of that. The only result will become, people will walk into more drama and trauma, or literally find themselves in their own hells. It was interesting. There's a Netflix series that Jeannie and I watched not too long ago called Lucifer. And sure. The devil, have you seen it?
I have. I've seen, I think, maybe three of the seasons.
Well, it's pretty interesting. Well, in one of the later seasons, you know, and for those who are listening who are not familiar with it, and there's some pretty good stuff that happens in it, but, you know, Satan is in hell and decides he wants to go on vacation, so he moves to L.A. And he decides he likes L.A., so he's going to stay there. But there's a point, and it's so right on. In fact, you know, they stopped after six seasons, and I've actually got it in my notes. I've made some notes and plan to communicate with the developers of it, because they left it such a perfect place to bring actual forgiveness to the world. But if you remember, you know, the devil, Satan, Lucifer, has this power, and his power is he gets close to people, captures their gaze, looks into their eyes, and asks them, what do you really want? And the only thing they can do, I mean, they literally go into an altered state, and they tell them what their true goal is. And it's right on with forgiveness, so right on. But in one of the last, I don't remember exactly which one, maybe three or four from the end of season six, is he expresses how his job as Satan was to find out those deepest desires, their goals, and make sure they weren't fulfilled.
Oh.
And there's the core of forgiveness. That, you know, whenever, and it's so backward to virtually everybody when they first say, wait a minute, why would I cancel this perfectly good goal for somebody to cherish and honor me? That's stupid. Well, you're right. It's a perfectly good goal, and you would never cancel because there's something wrong with it. But if you load it into your mind and it resonates in you some form of hostility or fear, you're now living in your own hell. What's Satan's job? To make sure you stay living there. And in Aramaic, the word Satan means the resister, one who misleads. And you watch the average person when you ask them to be responsible for their rage, their fear, their guilt, their insanity, whatever it is, what do they do? Oh, no, that's not true. They go into resistance, and then they tell you their minds lie, their story about how it's somebody else's fault. The resistor, one who misleads, precisely Satan. So at some point, I'm planning on communicating with the producers of that and inviting them into and handing them off the technology of forgiveness, because they've set the stage literally for Lucifer to deliver actual forgiveness to the world, which I think would be just like the epitome of redundancy.
That'd be a clever twist.
Well, you know, I was so shocked, you know, and it doesn't show up until, I think it was maybe halfway or more through the last season of it, that he just kind of slipped. And if he didn't have the brain cells, it would just go by. Most people wouldn't recognize it as meaning anything. But he's like, oh, my job is Satan, just to know your deepest desire and make sure it never happens. And it's just a perfect setup for season seven, for him to come back and say, okay, now I'm going to do the big reveal. Here it is. And to hand people, you know, the next power, you know, there are other characters in the that are other divine creatures, and they each have a power well, I can see where season 7 would be the power that this new iteration of Lucifer has is the ability to inspire people to cancel the goals, collapse the perception that their pain is based in, and clean up carbon-based memory. It would just be like a perfect seventh season to close it out and deliver forgiveness to the world.
Well, I support you in making that connection, because that would be quite wonderful for them to have that information and tie it in.
Yeah, it would be so perfect. So hold space for that one.
Yeah, absolutely.
Cool. Then let's look at the next beatitude, which is historically interpreted as blessed are the pure in heart, for they,
yeah,
shall,
for they shall see
God. See
God.
And in Aramaic, it speaks of you who have, and the word in Aramaic is dadsian, you who have a completely purified mind. In other words, you got to go in and clean up carbon-based memory. You know, the other day we talked about perception is a construct of the mind, and if everything comes from carbon-based memory, you know, these constructs, then we have, and there are unresolved issues, then whatever perceptions our mind generates, those perceptions are going to be totally and completely false about the actuality of the world. They'll only be true about us. As we do our work, you clean out carbon-based memory so that everything based in the lie, anything based in hostility or fear, is removed from the structure. And then we've got a database, this multi-generational database called carbon-based memory, that has only accurate information in it. And when it has accurate information in it, then everything it presents about the actuality is accurate. There are no lies left in it. But it's still not the truth, even though everything it holds is true, because it's not a live present moment experience as we're designed to have. It's still replicating something from the past. So we go from errant perception, but that's still death. And but when we've cleaned up the database, then that becomes the stepping stone for, well, we've acquired the habit of collapsing carbon-based memories constructs. So now what do we have? We have a clean and open space within the mind. That 9-bit space is open, and now the creator's mind can write enlightened perception. We can gather directly from the actuality a live present moment experience that is truly filled with the active presence of love and the true experience that we're designed for with life. So we go from errant perception to corrected perception to enlightened perception. And so this beatitude says exactly that. You who have a purified, completely purified mind. And what it says is that at that moment, you're now going to comprehend or come into direct relationship with Allah, the creator, the invisible source of creation. It's like they talk in the scriptures about the mind of man is not yet conceived of what lies in store. The mind of man can't do that. But when we clean carbon-based memory up, Adamos, the red clay, then we can become an instrument that enters into full relationship with love. And it's just so profoundly powerful, considering, you know, the alternative of fulfilling all the goals of the non-being mind.
Well said. Well said. And I know we don't have too many more minutes here. And so I don't want to repeat everything you said because it was so well said. Another way that I really like the way that JM also said it with his interpretation, he says, where it says, blessed are the pure of heart, he wrote, wise are they who are consistently restored in this way, which is reflective of that pure heart. And rather than for they shall see God, like flashes of lightning, God will increasingly reveal itself in the depth of their soul. And that reflects what you're saying, I believe, in terms of that corrected perception of things and that enlightened perception of it, getting to that place where there's this. And my word for it, which was a difficult word, honestly, for me to kind of come into contact with, because most of my life I felt like I didn't know anything, you know, that I was a little bit lost. I mentioned last time the idea of the duck with the, you know, feet paddling underwater and a lot of insecurity. And as my work with this started to come into a place where that purity of heart really took more hold, there was a knowing that was from that connected place, from that source, you know, holy, pure space. And I'll share one of the examples of how that started to show up for me. Because I had a lot of issues with money, I'm going to use a money example. You know, I had a lot of fear of money. I put a lot of energy into money, and in my early days, you know, put money above a lot of things. So it was interesting because in some of my work with this, as my heart began to purify, there would be this clarity of what was going to happen with whether it's the stock market or, you know, something. And I remember several times where I was given insights of, you know, hey, here's an insight of what's going to take place. But I didn't believe it. You know, I was still in this, well, I am unable to know. Right, so I would doubt it, and then it would happen. I'm like, well, that's interesting. And there was this, for me, kind of a restoration over time into trusting more and more and more and more and more and more and more. And the more I trusted, the more I was able to act in a way that was consistently in alignment. Now, I'm not perfect, of course, in terms of doing that, but there's an element of contrast of how I had been to how I am today. And there is a clear knowing, and I know you know this because you will, you know, call people out of the blue sometimes, right, to them, and you just call. And I remember when you used to do that with me, it's like, wow, how did he know? Not that you necessarily had the full information of why that call was important before you called, but you trusted the divine spark that in the pure space, you trusted that and acted. So that
back
trust
to the first
expands.
Beatitude.
Yes.
And exactly what you just said is back to the first beatitude. Are you living in the eternal forces that will incline you toward behavior and follow through with that behavior?
Yes, and this right becomes yep. more, Beatitude 6 becomes more, it's like, hey, that deepens, that becomes, there's this wisdom that starts to come forth that is more and more in someone's life as they continue to practice these things, comes into their life more and more with a trust that is way beyond, for me, a trust that I had ever experienced in my life with anything. I had misplaced trust. I had different ideas of what trust was, but this became a pure trust in this divine source.
Trust Rukka. Back to that eternal force that was designed for us to incline us toward the highest behaviors possible. And we are down to the last few seconds, so thank you for that. We have one more to cover if you've got the space tomorrow. Mark, well, no, I guess today's Friday, isn't it? So it'll be Monday. If you happen
nope,
to have the space,
Thursday.
We can. Oh, I was thinking it's Friday. Oh, good. We've got another day. All right. Well, does that work for you tomorrow?
Yeah, let's do it. Yeah, let's do it
great.
Tomorrow.
All right. Everybody, have the best year yet of your eternal life. It's an awesome gift.
Thank you for listening to Mind Shifters Radio with Dr. Michael Rice and myself, Jeannie Rice, and Dr. Tim Hayes and Michelle Pichet, as we present the first century Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. We are here for 2 hours every Monday through Friday from 12 noon to 2 o'clock Eastern Time on Mindshifters Radio. For more information on Aramaic forgiveness, please visit www.whyagain.org. That's www.whyagain.org.